100 albums. One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
There it is. It's Vic's Picks. Let's welcome Vic Vaughn to the show. Hi, Vic.
Whew, man, I had to take a breath. I got a little nervous there. But big intro. I haven't been on the air in like a week, and I'm all pumped up.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear
How you.
How's your vacation been going?
It was awesome. Well, it's not over yet. I got a couple more days, but it was awesome. Vic, I just got back yesterday, technically, because what's today, Friday?
Yeah, it's Friday.
So I got, we spent all day Thursday driving from Tennessee and then back to Chicago last night. Got a couple hours sleep, and here I am.
All right. Well, very, very cool. We're going to be excited to have you back on Monday morning.
Yeah, it'll be nice to be back in there.
Very cool. Okay, so Vic, as I explained earlier, you wanted to get some musical knowledge going, so you decided you'd go through the top 100 albums according to Rolling Stone, and you've been listening to all of them. Let's begin with what you've been listening to. Here we go. Did we lose Vic?
Ready?
There you go. Yeah, ready.
Number 31, Bob Dylan, Bringing It All Back Home, 1965. This album, Nick, was a lyrical feast for my ears. Plus, it's also got some of Dylan's first electric recordings, but also just the album, the music, the melodies, there's some jams on this album. There's blues. So I love this whole album. I had never listened to this album before. And as far as road trip music, and, a disclaimer, I obviously don't know anything about music, but I was on a road trip when I listened to this album, and it went so perfectly with the road. I think this would be a great road trip album.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect for it.
Yeah, that sounds about right, sure.
Yep. The lead track, Subterranean Homesick Blues. This Dylan said that he was influenced by Jack Kerouac, Woody Guthrie, and Chuck Berry by this when he wrote this song. And this song blew my mind. I don't know how he comes up with this stuff, but the lines in this song that he wrote, they just come at you wave after wave. It's absolutely packed with amazing lyrics, this song. They're jammed in there. They even feel a bit packed in there if you've heard this song, but that's how the song works.
Yeah.
I mean, the song just works. It's an amazing, it's a protest song. It's got the Vietnam War, it's got drugs, it's got the 60s counterculture. It covers all of that. At times it's like a story, and then at other times it's kind of abstract, I think, but I was really in awe of Subterranean Homesick Blues, that track one.
Yeah, that's a great song. Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Track two, She Belongs to Me. This is, the title is kind of ironic because the woman that he wrote the song about doesn't belong to anyone. That's kind of what the song's about in the lyrics. And there's also kind of like some debate on who it's even about. But the lyrics are stunning. I thought they were gritty. They were beautiful at the same time. She Belongs to Me is, I thought, was a really beautiful song.
All right.
Track three, Maggie's Farm. It's an electric blues song. It's right at the center of when Dylan started doing electric songs. So there's, it's a controversial song, Maggie's Farm is. It's definitely a counterculture song as well. But as far as I thought, I thought it was a rocking song. It's rebellious. It moves fast, but it's melodic too. It's got like a kind of written, I think anyway, from the perspective of like an employee or a worker, or kind of a laborer. So it's kind of endearing in that way too. It's a great song, Maggie's Farm.
Let's hear a little bit of that one. Yeah. By the way, Vic, U2 does an unbelievable cover of that song.
Really? Really?
Oh, my God. It's yeah, U2 does an incredible cover of it.
So. Oh, nice. Okay, I will check that out, definitely. Yeah, this album, man, I listened to it three times, and some of the albums I don't give that much time to, but the ones that I really connect with, I do, and this album, man, I can't wait to just listen to it more, because it's just one of those things in life where this is going to take more than just one listen to get it all. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Track 4, Love Minus Zero. This is one of the many songs that he wrote about his first wife, Sarah, but I love this song, Love Minus Zero. I think it's got such a sweet sound to it. It's one of my new favorites by Dylan. I actually connected with this song personally because I read that he wrote it about how Sarah kind of brought this like zen-like aspect to his life, or like a calm to his chaotic world, in his words. And I sometimes think fondly of Jeannie in a similar way like that. So I really connected with this Love Minus Zero on a personal level. And there's a line in that song that killed me when I heard it. I wrote it down, and it goes, she knows there's no success like failure, and that failure's no success at all. He writes stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of like a cold book in a lot of his lines, but
yeah,
such great writing. Yeah.
So we've got three more albums to talk about, so I want to be able to get to them. But overall, you loved Bringing It All Back Home.
I did, yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is also a pretty interesting album.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Number 30, Joni Mitchell, Blue, 1971. I had never listened to any of Joni Mitchell's albums before. Track 1, All I Want, beautiful piece of music with her voice. It's lovely harmony, incredible song. This is her fourth studio album. She's Canadian singer-songwriter. She said that there's not a dishonest note in this album. So that's from Joni Mitchell on the Blue album. She said during this period in her life, you know, whenever she created all of this, that she had no, quote, personal defenses. So that's kind of what you get out of this Blue album. So it's a real honest look at whatever she was thinking or going through. That kind of sets the stage for what you can expect from this album. But track 3, Little Green, it's a touching song. It's about a baby that she gave up for adoption. Track 4, Carrie, it's about a man, Carrie Raddatz, so she spent some time with in Greece and Crete. Track 5, album title, title track album, Blue. Track 6, California. It's a song she wrote while she was living in France. James Taylor plays guitar on that track. Track 7, This Flight Tonight. It's about the regrets over a flight that, an airline flight that takes her away from a lover. This Flight Tonight was actually a big hit for a Scottish hard rock band, Nazareth. Mm. It charted in Canada, Germany, the UK. They covered it a couple of years after she wrote it. But track 8, River, it's
a
love
song. Hold on a second, Vic. Yeah. We got a little bit of what you were just talking about. Go ahead.
Lights down there, that's where we land. I saw a falling star burn up above the Las Vegas sand. Wasn't the one that she gave to me that night down south between the trailers. Not the early one that you can wish upon. Not the northern one that died in the sailors. Oh, star bright, yeah. You got the loving that
there
I
it is.
Like, right.
Nazareth covered that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they reworked it.
Yeah.
You know, and turned it into a hard rock song.
Yeah.
And did really well for them.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I know. Her voice is really, you know, unique. When I first heard her sing, I thought, oh, wow, she had to have influenced Jewel, don't you think? I mean, her voice.
Oh, yeah.
Totally, yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's another interesting track on this album, River, track 8. It's a love song / breakup song, but this song takes place around Christmas time, and so the story of the song, so it became a pretty big Christmas song, apparently, River did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an emotional song. It's a very pretty song as well. And I know a couple of other artists did it. I read Barry Manilow did it. Sarah McLachlan did it. But, this album by Joni Mitchell, Blue, yeah, I liked it. I had never never listened to Joni Mitchell before, so very, very glad I came across it.
All right, very cool. All right, Vic, we got a break here for some weather. We'll do commercials and we'll come back. You got a couple more albums to talk about.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Vic Vaughn, everybody, and he's on a musical journey right now, and we call it Vic's Picks. Got a couple more albums that he's been listening to, making his way through entirely the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Regular Friday features will begin after 4 o'clock with You Big Dummy. I will read some of the biggest dummy stories of the week, and then Tom will vote, I'll vote, and then the first person through at 312-981 will also vote for the dummy of the week. Then we have Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll get funky a little bit later on with Fly Jams Friday. Phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Right now, we are talking with our good buddy Vic Vaughn, does the news for us on this show. And Vic has been doing this thing where he's been educating himself on music and decided that he was going to listen to every single album on the top 100 albums of all time list, according to Rolling Stone. And we call it Vic's Picks. Let's welcome Vic back. Vic, welcome back.
Hey, Nick. Oh, and I have just... So tomorrow I will listen to my 80th album in this little
wow.
venture over the last couple months. So, but I wanted to talk about number 29 on the list, Led Zeppelin. And we're going to stop there because 28, Who's Next by The Who.
Yeah.
I listened to it. I listened to some of the songs twice, but I've listened to it, and I love it. I love it. But it's deep, and it's got a lot to it, and I want to listen to it again before I really... kind of process what I thought about it, but I'm becoming a fan of The Who, rapidly becoming a fan of The Who.
Yeah.
That was my second album by The Who that I listened to. But Led Zeppelin, self-titled, number 29 on this list by Rolling Stone magazine, released in 1969. There's 9 songs on it. It's 45 minutes long. The opening track, Good Times, Bad Times, grabbed my attention right away. Jimmy Page, band's founder, lead guitar player, one of the greatest ever. He stood out right away to me in this first song, the lead guitar solo, even just to a beginner's ear, you know, that doesn't know much about Jimmy Page or Led Zeppelin. I knew right away that the guitars just sounded different, so I looked into what he did and found out, you know, he used a Fender Telecaster, and it kind of ran it through a Leslie speaker, which has baffles, and it kind of gives it that whirly sound. But it was really awesome, this track. Again, just one of the albums that I've come across so far where I just went, this was their debut album.
Yeah.
Because that's what this album just kind of just, it's just an amazing album.
And Vic, they recorded it in just a matter of hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they and some of the songs that I was reading that they didn't even have a band leader. They were just going like off head nod.
Right.
And just communicating through their eyes and, you know, yeah, it's pretty amazing what they did with this album. Shows you how good they are. But and plus, like, just with this being their debut album, that this had to have blown people's minds.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of unlike anything that people had heard before. Now you know,
right.
You know, they basically many of the songs on here are sort of recycled from old blues songs.
Uh-huh.
You know, from a lot of the old African American blues guys, and
right, yeah,
and but they added. I mean, the sound, the kind of sound that Page created specifically, it didn't sound anything like the blues guys did. So they took American blues and they gave it a very hard edge to it.
Yeah, here's a track that wasn't the blues one. Track 2, Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You. This was written by a girl who was a student at the time at the University of California, Berkeley. She was also a folk singer, but she's not in the music industry anymore. I mean, this was a song she wrote, and Led Zeppelin kind of adapted it and recorded it for this debut album. But it's a long one. Led Zeppelin's version is nearly 7 minutes long, but some beautiful guitar in track 2, Baby, I'm Gonna Leave You.
Yeah.
Track 3, You Shook Me, very cool song. It's blues rock, like you were saying. It's slow. It's a methodical sound with John Bonham's drums. Is a very his drums are actually like a big part of this song, as opposed to just something that keeps the song moving along or in the background. But You Shook Me, yeah, the drums are awesome in this song. If you like drums, track three.
Vic, the thing about John Bonham is that he was, in my opinion, the best rock drummer that has ever lived.
Really? I can see that.
Without question, he was the best rock drummer that ever lived.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right next to one of the greatest guitar players who's ever lived, and that's why you have Led Zeppelin, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a cool song for drums. That the drums were great, and Jimmy Page's guitar leads in this song is, especially for me, was just one of those ones where if I close my eyes, it could just take you to another place where the song, his lead ends, and you're like, open your eyes, and you just kind of come out of this trance. It was amazing. His lead guitar on that track three, You Shook Me.
Yeah.
You Shook Me, that's also more than 6 minutes long, that one. Track four, Dazed and Confused, 6.5 minutes long. So you get some really good music going. I'm starting to really like these songs that are longer, where they develop.
Well, Vic, you should listen to, because when they play Dazed and Confused live, it's 22 minutes long.
Oh, yes. I got to find that.
That was one of the centerpieces of their show. Jimmy Page would pull out a violin bow. During his solo, his solo was like 6 minutes long. During his solo, he would play his guitar with a violin bow. That was kind of his trademark.
Ah, that's crazy. Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's when he, as far as on this album, because it's only, like I said, so I think it's just over 7 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's 6.5 minutes long. But Jimmy Page starts shredding the guitar around the end of the song, because like if it's a 6.5 minute song, so probably somewhere around less than 3 minutes left, maybe in that 2.5 minute mark, he just goes off, and so does Bonham on the drums.
Yeah.
It's incredible. That track is incredible. I do remember reading that that this is just one of the ones that they always played. It became one of their most popular songs.
Dazed and Confused is one of their trademark songs.
I was driving on the way to Tennessee, and Jeannie changed that track in the middle of the song. And I looked at her and said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, it was just dragging on." it was such a good song. Track five, Your Time Is Going to Come. That one started weird. It started like with a church organ or something like you would expect if you're walking into a Sunday morning service or something. But once the song really gets going, it's so nice. I think Jimmy Page might be playing an acoustic guitar on this one.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, yeah, it's like a beautiful riff in the background throughout the song. I thought that was a really nice touch, and just really, really love the guitar in the background on that track, Your Time's Gonna Come. Black Mountain Side, sorry.
Yeah.
One thing was kind of cool, the end of track five blends into the beginning of track six, which I haven't really found too many albums that have done that so far, maybe none. I don't recall hearing that. It's kind of like if you're in a club and the DJ blends it in, but it does that on this album between track five and six. But that's another song where Jimmy Page's guitar is just like hypnotic, track six, Black Mountain Side.
Right.
But I guess if we're winding down, I know you gotta hit the news, but I do want to talk about I want to save that Who's Next for the next time we talk. Who's Next, I guess. Is that, where would you rank that in as far as the best albums of The Who, in your opinion?
I would rank it maybe third or fourth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love the album cover. It's one of my favorite album covers, like, ever.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It's got Baba O'Reilly on it, which is, of course, one of their signature songs that gets played. But yeah, I mean, I like Quadrophenia the most. That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Okay.
So
I'll get to that one. This is my second one. Bob O'Reilly, I'd never heard that song. That is an amazing song.
You've never heard Baba? You've never heard Baba O'Reilly?
He's heard it.
I didn't know. I had to. What? No, I'm sure I've heard it, but I've never listened to it. You know what I mean?
Wow. Okay.
The name doesn't even sound familiar to me, so
A lot of people miscall it "Teenage Wasteland" because that's in the chorus, but it's called Baba O'Reilly. So okay. All right, Vic. We got to run. We got to hit the news.
All right, guys.
I'm looking forward to seeing you back on Monday, buddy.
Yep, I'll be back Monday. See you guys soon.
Okay, take care. There's Vic Vaughn on his musical journey. Called Vic's Picks